Well, that was certainly a workout. Francesco Mastromateo playing the cello for you right here in our KUTX Studio 1A. And that piece sounded to me really heavy on the bass. It was a lot of bass notes in there.
Yes, this is, first of all, good morning. Thank you for having me today. It's such a pleasure to be once again here with you at KUTX.
Great to have you.
I really love to play this Capriccio by Alfredo Piatti. It's my favorite Capriccio among the Capriccio Opus 25. Basically, this is the Paganini of the cello. I didn't say that, but it was actually Liszt that said that.
Aha.
Because Alfredo Piatti, a forgotten figure maybe today in music history, actually was a very important performer in the second half of the 19th century. Everybody loved Alfredo Piatti. Liszt gave him a cello, an Amati cello, after he has heard Alfredo performing. And he sort of gave all the cellists one of the most important achievements in our literature, which are this Capricci Opus 25, which are a big, you know, sort of synthesis on everything you could do on the cello, mm-hmm. and also a Capriccio on a theme by the Niobe of Pacini, another forgotten composer, mm-hmm. which is a wonderful, you know, fantasy etude, practically. Mm-hmm. So Liszt loved Alfredo, and this is, I think, one of his best Capricci, because has really the ability, Alfredo, in this Capriccio to cover all the possible range on the instrument through different positions, different stretches of the fingers. Mm-hmm. Too bad you couldn't see, but actually it's very fascinating for me to see how the hand moves on the mm-hmm. instrument. Actually, not least, but Chopin. We used to say, Charles Rosen, a great American pianist and musicologist, used to say that you feel the music of Chopin in the stretching of the fingers. Mm-hmm. That's where you feel all his art, the essence of his art. And the same on a smaller scale, you can actually live on the music of Piatti. And Liszt was so in love with him that after a performance, actually they played together Brahms sonatas. Imagine, Liszt and Piatti playing Brahms sonatas. And Liszt and Brahms hated each other, but both of them loved Alfredo Piatti. So after that performance, you know, Liszt gave Alfredo an Amati cello, and he actually wanted to listen to his music, and this music, his cello music, was just stunning. Besides that, Alfredo is very famous in Italy for another reason. He studied the conservatory in Milan, and there is a funny story about that. When he arrived there, he was a 13-year-old boy coming from a smaller city, Bergamo. He already had the fame of being a very important talent, because he started to play not with a cello, but with a viola. It was very short, so they gave him a viola, they put an end pin down the viola, and so he sort of played a little bit with that. But he arrives in Milan, he wants to study formally the conservatory. The biggest cellist at the moment there is called Merighi. So he has to do an entrance exam, no? It's an admission. So he goes there, he plays, he also does some music theory tests. And he's taking that exam, you know, with who? With another very famous, I mean, way more famous, you know, musician, Giuseppe Verdi. Well, they are taking the entrance exam together. Alfredo Piatti gets in, and Giuseppe Verdi doesn't.
No! Oh, yes. No!
This was a ridiculous thing. This happened in Italy. We are all ashamed of this event in the history of Italian music, but Giuseppe Verdi didn't enter actually the Conservatory of Milan. So don't get discouraged if you have a problem in life. You know, you can always become the greatest
become
musician
Verdi.
Of your age.
Great. And I didn't have to interview you at all. You just interviewed yourself. That was great.
Sorry.
Not at all. It was great. I loved it. You're listening to Francesco Mastromateo, who is great at telling stories as he is as at playing the cello. And he is going to be participating in an event this weekend that Alfredo is going to tell us about.
Yes.
So fill us in.
On April 21st, it's my privilege to play with the classical music for the World Chamber Orchestra. It's an orchestra made of my former students, very young, and also some professional musicians and some amateur musicians of this wonderful city, which is full of art. Austin is really a place which is fulfilled and fulfills everybody through music and to every kind of possible creative experience. This will be a very significant one, because on April 21st at 7 p.m.
That's Saturday or Sunday?
This Saturday. O'Kill United Methodist Church at 7. We are going to perform for refugee families. It's a very important cause. And so musicians like, for example, the Associate Concertmeister of Austin Symphony, Dr. Eugene Gradovich, will be joining us in the orchestra.
Wonderful.
He's a wonderful person and a wonderful musician. And also three very talented young Lhasa students are playing the Vivaldi D minor concerto for two violins, cello and orchestra. We selected them, Sage Lee, Chet Fagerstrom, and Nick Hamel, the three guys that will be the solo for that piece. And then I will be playing the Haydn C major cello concerto, a favorite of all cellists, a very famous piece, very youthful. Actually, not so, you know, old in music history because it was discovered only in 1960. And
is that that one that goes dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum,
ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, yes, ba-da-dum, you know, ba-da-dum, it's come to the concert to listen to the other part. So I play also a crazy cadenza. You should come.
Didn't he do two cello concertos?
Yes, yeah. And for the longest time we knew actually better. The story about Haydn and his cello concerto is also very funny because we knew the D major cello concerto, but we knew it in a version by a cellist, a very famous Belgian cellist, Gevert, for the longest time. And then we discovered the original version, which was slightly different, and we call it the Gendron version, just because Gendron, Maurice Gendron, very famous cellist of the last century, discovered I think in the 50s and way later in the 70s, and so he basically made a more correct version. There were some differences in the exposition of the first movement. Basically, you know, the Gevert version was a very romantic approach to the Haydn D major cello concerto. Gendron sort of restored the original version. But in the midst of all of that, in 1960, I think 62 or 63, something like that, we discover also the manuscript of the C major cello concerto, which becomes immediately a perennial favorite of all cellists. It's a younger work compared to the D major one. It was written for the Esterházy Orchestra and for the principal cellist of that orchestra, which in fact used to play in the orchestra. So you don't play only the solo line. You are actually supposed to play also
in the
ensemble
too.
Part in the orchestra too.
Really?
So it has also very light, originally, I mean, very light orchestration, very rich in terms of the bass, because, you know, you should have, even though there is the cello leading the section, you have a big sound supporting the solo line. And the fantastic way in which Haydn actually organizes this work, I think, is the perfect example of Carl Dalaus, a great music critic, calls what is music. So the union of emotions and matheses or mathematics. So it's a perfect meaning between expression and intimate or joyful expression, and the ability to calculate how we express ourselves and how we put everything in place. It's like in life, you don't want to say too much, you don't want to say too little. You want to be able to have just the right amount of warmth and also the right amount of precision in order to make that warmth effective to the others.
Wonderfully said. That's beautiful. Yeah. Francesco Mastromateo, and he's going to be playing with other musicians in a concert that's going on at Oak Hill United Methodist Church, and that's going to be on Saturday night at 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock,
7 o'clock.
7 p.m.
And you have some Hindemith also for us today?
Yes, because, you know, I actually just played the recital with the music by Alfredo Piatti.
Now, you are from Italy, I should
I am
mention.
From Italy, so that's why I have to play Alfredo Piatti. I cannot, you know.
Yes,
I was so sad that here in the U.S. I still didn't hear one concert. Actually, in Italy, too. We don't play concerts with the music of Piatti because it's considered too risky. But I have nothing to risk, so I go. I also enjoy so much taking risks.
He's considered too hard.
He's considered too hard, yes. It's like playing, you know, all 24 Capricci by Paganini, you know. Very rarely you hear
right. Wow.
I didn't do all of them, though. I did only five. I did five Capricci by Piatti in a recital last Saturday. And I played the big capriccio on the team from the Niobe of Pacini. And then I added to the menu for that concert. Also, the Indemit Solo Sonata, which is a wonderful piece in our cello literature, and also the Ligeti Solo Sonata. And this morning, I would like to show you the first movement of the Indemit. I mean, to play for you, sorry, the first movement of the Indemit Solo Sonata, which I think is a wonderful combination with the Piatti, because as much as Piatti is, you know, extroverted and is is truly Italian in the sense that he doesn't fear to put out what he has, and in terms also of virtuosity, showcase, brilliance, well, Indemit does something very different. He was also, as you know, was a great violist, he was a fantastic performer, was a composer that wrote with the facility and the speed that probably was not, it was very rare in music history. His output is simply immense. He wrote for any possible instrument. If you want a trombone sonata, go to Indemit. If you want a double bass sonata, go to Indemit. If you want everything, go to Indemit, practically. He lived in the US too, actually. And he wrote this piece in 1922. If, you know, Piatti is about emotions. Well, Indemit is about what is before our emotion. Why do we feel what we feel? I think that's the big question of an expressionist artist, as Indemit was. And in order to answer to that question, we discover things that maybe we like, maybe we don't like about ourselves. Basically, it's the moment in history of the Western world where we discover our unconscious. And in fact, Indemit and Sigmund Freud had a lot in common. Let's listen to that and get ready for a bit of a shock.